His name. Amen. We are at the near the end of January now, and I'm sure some of you maybe started this month setting some goals for yourselves. I'll not ask, a few smiles I see in faces. Maybe some of you set some goals, some things you wanted to achieve in the year ahead. As a church, we committed ourselves at the start of the new year to be reading our Bibles more. And so we've been doing the Bible course, and we're in week three of the Bible course. And looking to get into God's Word more. But many of us do, we live our lives, when we actually think about it, setting kind of goals, setting sort of things that we would like to achieve. And some of these we know are going to be quite challenging. Some of them are going to require us to step out and really go for it. And it's one of the exciting things about being a follower of Jesus, because when Jesus comes into our life, when we make Jesus Lord of our life, then He leads our life. And you see that in the local church, where God gives vision and direction to the local church. You see it in your own individual life, where God gives vision and direction for your future. And at times, His vision and direction for your future can be really challenging. It's something you really have to step out into. We just need to think of what Jesus said to His disciples. We've got it up there on the wall. You know, that small group of His followers that He gathered together, and He gave them a vision and a direction. He said, go and make disciples, go out into all the world. And we read through the book of Acts to just see how incredibly challenging that was for them at times. So God brings into your life, He brings into the life of a local church, His vision and direction that is at times really quite challenging. I mean, I was thinking about the discipleship pathway again this week. You know, live connected, be transformed, change your world. I was thinking again, I mean, why do we do this? Someone asked me this week, why do you do that? And I was thinking about it, and we've shared this before. You know, one of the reasons we do it is to be more like Jesus, so that we're doing what Jesus did. And someone sent me a great quote this week from a guy called Robert Mulholland about discipleship as a process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. A process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. And I thought, yeah, That's what I want for EMBC. That's what I want for my own life, to become more like Jesus for the sake of others. And if you are here this morning and you don't find this challenging, then I would love a conversation with you, because I find it really challenging at times. You know, becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others. So God brings into a local church, brings into your own life vision and direction, a forward point that He says, walk into that, step into that. And it can be challenging at times, you know, to be like Jesus, to do what Jesus did for the sake of others. It's the best life, but it is really quite challenging. So we're going to take a look this morning as we come into week three at the Bible course. We're going to take a look this morning at a group of people who God had given a promise to. God had given a direction for their life. God had given them something that He wanted them to step into. In fact, it had been in place for hundreds of years, but it was going to be a challenge for them. In fact, so challenging that rather than step forward into all that God had for them, they actually stepped away from what God had there in place for them. So we're going to be in looking at the people of Israel and God's promise to them of the land that He was going to take them into. Remember last week when Rory was talking to us about the covenants, that covenant that God made with Abraham, part of that included the promise of this land that He would lead them into to settle as a nation. It was a promise given to Abraham, to his son Isaac, to Isaac's son Jacob. It was a promise that probably as a nation seemed long forgotten in their lives. We remember the story of what happened, don't we? Jacob had many sons. One of those sons sons was Joseph, and the other brothers didn't like Joseph, and so they sold Joseph into slavery, and so Joseph ends up in Egypt, and eventually, and I am compressing this fantastic story right down, eventually God brings Joseph into a place of power and position in Egypt at a time of famine across the land, and Jacob and his whole household end up back in Egypt, about 70 of them all together under the care of Joseph. But we know the story from our journey through the book of Exodus that we went on. The people of Israel grow and grow and grow, but a Pharaoh comes along that does not know Joseph, and hundreds of years pass, and 400 years pass, and the people of Israel are a vast nation, but they are oppressed. And they are, in fact, remember the story, actually Pharaoh seeks to wipe them out. All the newborn males were to be killed at birth. And we know the story, Moses getting put out into the Nile and rescued by one of the daughters of Pharaoh. And God hears the cry of his people and remembers that covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and raises up Moses and uses Moses to lead the people out of captivity into freedom. And we come back to the story, and I'm so excited that we get to come back into the story. We come back into the story this morning as we're doing the Bible course. We come back into the story to the part of the story where Moses has led the people to the edge of this promised land. God is about to fulfill his covenant to these people. This promised land. This is God's destiny for them. But as we will see, rather than stepping forward into what God had for them, they turn away and they step away from it. And there is no escaping the fact that God will lead you into challenging situations in your life that will stretch you, that will scare you, that will test your faith and your trust in him. And it's good for us to then be able to open God's word this morning and think about how do we deal with those moments in life. And so we're going to see this morning as we're going to be in Numbers chapter 13 to 14. It is a long section of scripture, so I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read parts, and then I'll paraphrase parts of what is going on in this story. But if you've got a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Numbers, and we're going to be in chapter 13, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 of chapter 13 as we look to step out into all that God has for us this morning. The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. So the whole nation, they've gathered at the edge of the promised land. The Lord says, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp into the wilderness of Paran. Don't miss what is happening here. God is directing them forward. He is saying, go now, step out into this land. This is his will. This is his destiny for them. And then you have that list of all the tribal leaders. And then verse 17, we pick up the story. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back some samples of the crops you see. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first grapes. Here's our first point for us to apply to our lives this morning. And it's this: go and explore. When you face yourself in a situation where you're trying to discern, when you're trying to understand what God is doing with your life, when you're trying to maybe standing at the threshold of a new opportunity that God's inviting you to step forward into, then it's good to do your homework. It's good to do some exploring. God did not say, all of you get together and go straight across there. He said to them, go and explore. Find out what the land is like, what the towns have, what sort of walls are like. Is the soil good or bad? And there is wisdom in taking that time to explore, to think, to plan, to pray. What is God asking me to do here? And to gather information. Now, as we're going to see as we go on in this story, you need to be really careful about what you gather and how you do what you do with that. But some of you today are in that season of exploring. God is maybe stirring your heart for something new, stirring your heart for a group of people. And you're thinking, what does this look like for me? What would this involve in my life? Do I have the gifting for this? Is this just a good idea? Or is this a God idea? Remember when Ian Coffey was here back in May last year? He spoke to us so powerfully about that, between the difference between a good idea and a God idea, sharing that there's a big, big difference between the two of them. But when God brings something new into your life, sometimes the start of that is God saying to you, go and explore what I have for you. And some of you are in that season. You know that you know God is maybe opening up something new for you. And that can be really exciting when you're in that place and you know that God's maybe opening up something for you. But it can also be quite overwhelming. And the people of Israel, as we're going to see, are overwhelmed with what God is opening up for them. But, you know, sometimes when you're in that place, it can be really exciting. Maybe God, you know, we've been talking about life groups. Maybe God's stirring your heart to get involved in a life group or leading a life group. We've been talking about the tech AV team. You know, maybe God's stirring your heart for that. We've been talking about Alpha and other ways that you can serve. And one of the things that God's maybe saying to you this morning is go and explore. And it's okay to be in that season for a time of exploring what God wants for you in your life. But as we follow along in the text, we see what happens. They go through verse 23. Not all these verses will appear, so you might need to just follow along in your Bible. Verse 23. They come to the valley of Eshcol. They cut down a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry the pole between them. 40 days, these group of men explore the land, and then they return to give their report. And the whole community, the whole nation of Israel gather to hear this, because this involves all of them. They're all in the desert. This is a promise for all of them. Excuse me, my cough this morning. And they're there, and they all gather, and Moses and Aaron are there. And we hear the report, verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed, a bountiful land it is, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. And you can imagine them all looking at that colossal, I don't know if that's how big it was, that's just a picture, but you can imagine them all looking at those grapes and getting really excited. Wow, milk and honey, look at the size of that bunch of grapes, and getting excited about it. Then in verse 28, we read that word, but. You know, but can mean something's good coming or something not so good's coming. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. There they are, all excited about that land flowing with milk and honey. Maybe get me a wee glass of water. Sorry, folks. There they are, and that land flowing with milk and honey. And then comes the challenge. Big people fortified cities. Remember, these 12 men are leaders of the tribes. So these are men of influence and renown. And you know, maybe this is just a bit of a side point, but when God places you in a place of influence, that carries incredible responsibility, because you can steer and guide and lead people just as easily away from God's will as in to God's will. And this is what we see starting to happen here. But there is another but, thankfully. There's another voice. The voice of this is not the voice of the 12. There's Caleb and Joshua in verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Now I need to make some space for it. Here we go. And Caleb, he tries to quieten down the people. He can see what's happening. He can see they're starting to get concerned. And he says, "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." Verse 31, the group of 10 come back. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. This land will devour us. All the people are huge. We even saw giants of Anak. We felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." These 10 men really go for it. They talk about the descendants of Anak. These were men of renown before the flood. So how they've survived the flood, I'm not too sure. But my own interpretation of what is going on here is that these men are just getting really dramatic. They are giving the most dramatic account that you can imagine. And you see it in the Bible. Their account spreads fear and hopelessness among the people. And this takes us to our second point this morning, which is listen carefully. 10 of them are like, "We can't do this." 2 of them are like, "Let's go." You know, and many of us live our lives, I think, if we're being honest at times, in that place of tension between our faith in God and what God can do, but also our own awareness of what we can't do and what other people think is possible or not. And when our thoughts or the thoughts of others win out, then we see what happens. We see it in this story. Fear comes in. So much fear that they just want to walk away and step back rather than step forward. You know, Paul says in Corinthians 2, verse 5 and 7, we live by faith and not by sight. And sight has overtaken these 10 men. The faith report of Caleb and Joshua is drowned out by the fear report of these other 10 men. And this, you know, this is one of the reasons we are really encouraging us all as a church to be reading our Bibles, because we want each of us to be in that place where God's voice is coming into our lives. We want to be in that place that when maybe challenges come, when God's maybe opening up things and we're not sure about where we're going or where we're exploring, we want to be in that place where we're listening to Him. He needs to be our first port of call in listening. So we need to be careful at what we're listening to and who we're listening to. And we need to make sure we're listening to God's voice, because we want to go forward with Him. And that is the good news that is in this story. The good news is in this story is it's not all about us. Part of what is happening here is they're making it all about them. We can't do this. We can't do this. But as we journey as followers of Jesus, we know that the good news is it's not actually all about us. You know, one of my favorite verses is when Jesus says, "I will build my church." I just love that verse. And yes, Jesus invites you and me and EMBC to be part of what He's doing. But Jesus never says, "EMBC, you will build my church." He says, "You've got a part to play," but He says, "I will build my church." church. For me, this takes, oh, I love, part of the reason I love this verse is it takes me to some of the foundations of our faith. And that is, it is Jesus that saves us. You know, I grew up in Westwood Baptist Church, but Westwood Baptist Church did not save me. I went forward at the World Baptist Youth Rally and gave my life to Jesus, but that rally did not save me. It was Jesus that saved me. It's Jesus that brought me into new life. It's the Holy Spirit that convicted me of sin. That's why Jesus says, I will build my church. I will bring you into a new way of living. And if you think it's all about you, then you'll break down and you'll collapse under the weight of fear and expectation. And as we move into chapter 14, we see this is what is happening. The people are now weeping and crying. There is an epidemic of fear that has spread across this people. Verse 14, verse 2. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 4. Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Remember when we were going through Exodus, what was happening to them in Egypt. They were slaves. Remember, the Egyptians wanted to wipe them out. They'd ordered the death of all their newborn male childs. This is what they want to go back to. They want to go back to slavery. They want to go back to genocide. You know, that first generation for me that came out of Egypt never really got the freedom that God was wanting to lead them into. And whenever a challenge came, they looked back and they wanted to go back. And I think it's one of the real challenges for us as we follow Jesus, is that when challenges come, let's not turn away from God. You know, Galatians 5 verse 1, Paul's touching on this a bit where he says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In his context, Jesus is talking about the new life that they can have in him. He's talking to the Galatians about, you know, you don't need to live this religious life that you used to live. You've got a new life in Jesus Christ. And I would say this to all of you who face challenges this morning. Don't turn away from God. In your hurt, in your confusion, in your uncertainty, go forward into the challenge with him, not without him. Keep following Jesus. You might not feel in yourself, you may not feel any better, but trust me, Jesus has dealt with your sin, and whatever you see in the future, see beyond that to what he promises you. I was reading Romans 8 again this week, and there's that great verse where Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed and us. That's about looking beyond your challenge, looking beyond your difficulty, seeing what you've got in Jesus and seeing what is coming in the future. But let me take you back into the text, because I'm conscious time is moving along. In Numbers 14 and 5, Moses and Aaron are devastated. They fall face down on the ground before the whole community. Joshua and Caleb tear their clothes, but they speak up again. In verse 7, they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land, flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord is with us was their great declaration to that whole nation. It's what Jesus says to us, I am with you always. It is the great message that I always go on about, we read in the Bible, God saying, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. And what does that mean for you today? He's your source of strength. He brings courage where you see fear. Where you see hopeless situation, he brings hope. This is what we see in Caleb and Joshua. They get it. Yes, it's going to be incredibly challenging. Yes, there are some pretty big cities out there full of some pretty big people. But they got it, that none of what was ahead of them was bigger than the God who was with them. And they knew that God with them changed everything, and it changes everything that you face in your life here today. You know, we see at the end of chapter 14, tragically, after walking away from God, we read in chapter 14, God's judgment comes on them. All the people who are over 20 years of age will not enter the promised land. They will wander the desert for 40 years, for each of the 40 days that the men explored the land. But after hearing this judgment and realizing that they had got it wrong, the whole nation decide, well, we'll take this land. We'll go and take this land now. And Moses is like that to them. You can see it in verse 42. Don't go. Don't go, because God is not with you now. Do not go. Do not go forward. God is not with you. But up they go, and they are defeated. And the only way we can go forward, the only way you can go forward into what God has for you in your life is with Him leading. You know, there's a place that God wants us to be, and we want to be in that place, and it's our final point that's going to just come up now. Be where He wants you to be. You know, we read about the people talking about stoning Joshua and Caleb. And then we read about God's glorious presence coming and the Lord appearing at the tabernacle, that place where the people met to worship and sacrifice God, and where God appeared to Moses and Joshua so often. And God in verse 12 appears, and he's like, I've had enough of these folk. I'm going to destroy them all. He said, I'm just fed up with them, looking back and wanting to go back to slavery and all that stuff. I've had enough of them. And Moses has to intercede for them. And you can read it all later. Verse 19, Moses said, in accordance with your great love, he calls out to God, forgive them. And God does forgive them, but there's a consequence. They have to wander the desert for 10 years. The 10 men that gave the bad report, they die straight away. And when I read this, and when I read what happens in that, in many ways I turn it into a prayer and I say, Lord, may I be found where you want me to be. When the challenges come, when the opportunities come that you open up. This was a fantastic opportunity that God was opening up for them. New land flowing with milk and honey. And it was going to be challenging, but it was a fantastic opportunity. But rather than step into it, they stepped away from it. And as you follow Jesus, he will lead you into some fantastic opportunities in your life. But they will stretch you, and they will be challenging, and you will be scared at times. And maybe you're in that place right now of exploring some new season, and you are a bit scared, you are a bit overwhelmed. Maybe you could name it right this morning, what it is in your life. And God is saying to us from his word this morning, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Because there might be round the people round about you that are being like those 10 leaders. Listen carefully. Listen first and foremost to what God is saying to you. Listen to your loving Father who longs for you to hear his voice. And go forward with God, remembering it's not all about you and your abilities and strength. It's about who is with us. And Joshua and Caleb, they got that. They got that straight away. And they wanted to be in the place where God had for them in their lives. And that's what we long to be as a church. That's where you long to be in your own walk with God. If I go back to the beginning, I shared at the beginning, to become like Jesus for the sake of others. That's something we all desire in our lives, to be more like Jesus for the sake of others. And maybe, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the challenge of it myself about this discipleship pathway. I'm feeling it's something that God's wanting me to step into more in my life, to be more like Jesus for the sake of others. And it is really challenging at times, but it is, I know it is, where God wants me to be, where God wants you to be, where God wants EMBC to be as a church family, stepping more into becoming more like Jesus for the sake of others. So let me encourage you this morning. Here was a group of people. What an amazing opportunity they had in front of them. And yet they step back and they wander for 40 years. But God in His goodness and God in His own time brings them back into that promised land. But for you this morning, maybe there's some new opportunity that you're exploring. Listen carefully, but for all of us this morning, go forward into all the opportunities that face you with God. Be where He wants you to be. That doesn't mean it'll be the easiest place, but it will be His place for you where He will get glory through how He uses your life. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You as always for how You speak into our lives. And I pray for each person here this morning that there would be maybe just one precious nugget from Your word that they take away with them from this message this morning. Maybe they are just exploring and they just need to know that it's okay to be in that season, to be in that place of asking, God, what have You got planned for me? What other opportunities are there? Maybe they're in that place where they know what there is. They've heard Your voice, but there's other things coming in and distracting them or doubt, making them doubt what it is You're leading into them. Lord, this week ahead, would You just confirm to them through Your living word that this is right where You are taking them. Lord, we thank You that You go forward with us. We don't want to be like those Israelites who disobeyed You and then tried to go up themselves and were defeated. Lord, we want to be where You want us to be, going forward with You, being led by You for Your glory. And Lord, I just thank You again that You are with us. And Lord, may that bring real encouragement to someone this morning, that You are with them. They know that they're in Your place, Lord, but it's difficult for them, and it's challenging for them, and they're just finding it really hard. Lord, just encourage them this morning that You, the living God, are with them, and all Your power and all Your might is all that they need in their life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together a song of worship. Why don't we stand together as we prepare to worship?